Well, notwithstanding the coronavirus pandemic and the national lockdown, here we are again in the book of Acts. We're continuing where we left off last week, in a passage assigned to us for this day by God's sovereign providence. Paul has passed through a series of trials and has been pronounced innocent, but he's appealed to Caesar. And so to Caesar he must go. The might of man has been arraigned against the Apostle Paul, but it has failed to halt him. Now the forces of nature will conspire to bring him to his grave. But nothing in this world is able to separate him from the love of God, or to prevent him from accomplishing the purpose to which he has been called and for which he has devoted his life in service. And here is the crux of the matter. You see, God's purpose was not Paul's comfort. God's purpose was not Paul's health and well-being. God's purpose was not Paul's standing in society and acceptance in social circles. God's purpose was the gospel's progress through Paul as his servant. That was the whole purpose of the Apostle Paul's life, to be a servant of God for the progress of the gospel in this world. And so everything that happened to the Apostle Paul happened to further that purpose of God in the Apostle Paul's life. Now I want to say that that is true for us as well. That is true for us today. That is true for us today in the circumstances of our lives as they are this day. These uncertain times, these unprecedented circumstances, with our movements restrained, our health at risk, our futures uncertain. Today is a day for the progress of the gospel in our lives, and through us, for the gospel to reach the world. The circumstances of our lives are orchestrated by God for this purpose, that he might bring salvation to this world. That is how he has been working in this world since the beginning. Since Adam and Eve first rebelled against him by eating that forbidden fruit, and as a result were cast out of his presence, out of the garden, out of the place of comfort and peace and plenty. They were thrust out into a world of sorrow and pain and suffering and sickness and death. And yet at the same time, all through the generations of men and women and boys and girls who have been surrounded by these realities, God has been at work. He's been at work to bring salvation to this world. An unfolding plan has been revealed to us in his holy word. And through it all, we can trace the work of God bringing about the purpose of salvation for the people whom he has chosen. And that is still true today. And in the midst of our circumstances, we must remember that God is working out his purpose of salvation for this world in the way that he deems best. And so the circumstances of our lives are working towards that great goal. And that may mean discomfort for us. That may mean that our health is at risk, it may mean that we are brought face to face with death. These circumstances are all in God's sovereign hand. And His purpose for us in this world isn't to make us happy and comfortable and healthy and prosperous. His purpose is for the prospering of the gospel. And for us, if we are Christians, to be involved in its progress in this world through our lives and through our witness. And as we consider this chapter and these verses and the Apostle Paul and the circumstances he went through as this storm seemed to threaten his very existence, as a viper strikes at him and his life seems to be on the way out, we can learn lessons from Paul's reactions in the midst of his experiences. Reactions that will help us in our circumstances. What would Paul say to us? Well, I think there are three things in this passage that he would say to us, that he does say to us in the way that he responds to his circumstances. And the first of these is that he would say to us, take heart and have faith in God. Take heart and have faith in God. Paul had faith in God. Paul had faith in the Word of God. So that in the midst of the storm, when the wind was blowing and the breakers were crashing against the boat, and seasoned sailors had given up hope of living, Paul stood up amongst them and he said to them, do not be afraid. Take heart. For, he said, I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told you. I have faith in God. God has come to me and God has revealed his plan to me. God has spoken to me. He has told me this very night that I must stand before Caesar. And he has told me this very night that every last man upon this boat has been granted to live along with me. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God. Paul had faith in the Word of God. He must stand before Caesar, and therefore he can't lose his life on this stormy night. Now, I acknowledge that Paul had received a word of special revelation from God. An angel had come to him in the night and had spoken to him personally. But God has given us a word of special revelation as well. He has given us the Bible. It is to be a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. It is to guide us through our lives in this world. And his word is trustworthy. His word is true. His word is faithful and sure. It is a word of God for us that we are to build our lives upon. Like a solid foundation. Like a rock. It is there to be a place of safety. And it is to be a place that will keep us certain and sure in the way that we live. It teaches us God's ways. It teaches us his purposes in this world. We ought not to be confused about why we are here. And in the midst of uncertain times and difficult circumstances, we can have confidence that, God's purpose is still unfolding as it ever has. And we needn't at all be dismayed by the circumstances that we're going through. It teaches us how to move, to live lives that trust God, to live lives that obey God, to live lives that honour and serve God. There is only one God, and he alone is to be worshipped. He must be put first. He must be the focus of our lives. And his word teaches us what we are to expect in our lives. It teaches us very clearly that we're not to expect ease, that we're not to expect comfort, that we're not to expect peace, that we're not to expect freedom from trouble or sickness. That indeed, as those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we should expect trouble in our lives as he experienced trouble in his life. And when we turn to the Word of God and we see the plan and purpose of God in his Word to save sinners, to bring them through this world to a place that he is preparing for them, when we understand that our priority is to live for God, to honour him, and when we know that we can expect trouble along the way, but the destination is a wonderful place of peace, then we know how to face circumstances. With faith in God, we can endure his difficult providences with hope. And so with confidence, Paul is able to say to the men, "Take heart, for I have faith in God." And Paul would say to you and to me, take heart and have faith in God. When everything around you is a storm, when everything around you is falling apart, then take heart and have faith in God. Have faith in the promises that he has made in Jesus Christ. Have faith that those who turn from their sins to trust in the provision of a Saviour, of Jesus, their sins are forgiven and they're reconciled to God. Have faith that though persecution may come in this life, God is preparing for you a place with him in the life that is to come. That there will be no judgment because the price has been paid for sin. That there will be freedom and there is hope. Trust in the Word of God. Have faith in God and take heart. The second thing that the Apostle Paul would say to us is that we are to give thanks to the Lord in the presence of all. Paul, in the midst of the same storm that these other 275 men were in, he was full of courage and he was full of peace. And as the storm unfolded and the danger seemed to increase and the men were going hungry for fear and uncertainty, he turns to them and he says to them, it's the 14th day that you've continued in suspense and without food. Now have something to eat. Take some food, that it may strengthen you, he says to them. For again, not a hair of your head will perish. I have faith in God, he has told them. And he continues as the nights pass. I have faith in God still. And then he takes bread. And he gives thanks to God in the presence of them all, and he begins to eat that bread. Paul was unafraid of the storm because he had faith in God, and he was unashamed of his God in the midst of the storm. He testified of the God to whom he belonged and whom he served. He wasn't afraid of the questions. He wasn't afraid of the criticism. He wasn't afraid of the ridicule. Oh, you trust in God, do you? Well, so where's your God? Here we are, the weeks are passing, the storm is unabating. Where is your God? How quick we are to be ashamed of our God when circumstances are difficult and we're not sure how to explain them. We don't want people to know that there is a God to whom we belong and whom we worship. We wonder ourselves, what is God doing? How can this happen to me? And we're full of self-pity and we bemoan our circumstances. And the last thing that we want to say to the people around us is that we believe in a sovereign God and we worship a sovereign God. The God who is allowing these things to happen and seeing them unfold. Paul testified to the God to whom he belonged and whom he worshipped. And he acknowledged God and he gave thanks to God in the midst of the storm. He thanked the Lord for the food that he was about to eat. Even as everyone else was staring at imminent death, he gave praise and thanks to God in the presence of them all. Lives of faith in God naturally are expressed in everyday affairs of life. The giving of thanks before a meal. The acknowledgement of God's provision of necessary food, even in the midst of a storm that could take life. Where is your God? Well, Paul knew that God was there. And we know that God is here. Because as we have seen, God has a bigger purpose. He had a bigger purpose for the Apostle Paul than a calm sea and a fair wind. And he has a bigger purpose for our lives than freedom of movement, the ability to go about our daily routines unhindered, the freedom from the risk of infection. God has a bigger purpose for our lives than these things. And we ought to trust him and not be ashamed of him. And in the midst of them all, though we may not have answers to the whys and the wherefores, we ought not to be ashamed of him, but to give thanks to him and for him in the presence of all. And then thirdly, the Apostle Paul would have us learn to thank God and take courage. After the storm, when the ship had run aground, when every life aboard that vessel had been saved, when, as verse 1 of chapter 28 says, we were brought safely through, there is more to face. Paul had experienced so much, and yet there was so much still before him. As he was gathering wood and throwing it on the fire, a viper bites him. The poison is sure to kill him, and everyone gasps and everyone watches, and the minutes pass. And the hours pass and there's no swelling and he doesn't fall down dead. But that's not the only danger that he faces. At the end of this passage that I read to you, he eventually arrives at Rome, and he's not in Rome for a holiday. He's not in Rome to see the sights, the great Colosseum and the other tremendous buildings. He's there to stand trial before an emperor who is vicious and depraved. There's more to face. And yet, Paul thanked God when he got to Rome. He was full of thankfulness to God in every circumstance. Rejoice, he says. Again, I say, rejoice. Along the way, he has had opportunities of refreshment. Not long after they had initially set out, we're told that Julius treated him with kindness and gave him leave to go to his friends and to be cared for in Sidon. There were a group of believers who loved the Lord and loved his servant. And there he had opportunity for fellowship. And now as he comes towards Rome, in another town, there's another group of brothers with whom he has fellowship and stays for 7 days. And then as he gets nearer to Rome, some of the brothers from Rome come out to meet the party. And on seeing them, we're told, Paul thanked God and took courage. There was more to face. More hardship, more difficulty, more questions. But Paul took courage as he fellowshipped with his brothers. For Paul, you see, life was a journey, not a destination. This life that we live day by day, it's not all that there is. This isn't what we're here for. We're on our way to face our God. And along the journey to face our God, there will be trials and troubles of various kinds. And one after another, they will come and they will pass. God will bring us safely through. And he will refresh our souls and encourage our hearts through the fellowship of his people. And this is the way that life goes. All along there will be reason for encouragement. And the greatest encouragement that Paul would have taken from all of this is that wherever he seems to go, he encounters those whom the gospel has affected. The gospel of this God to whom he belongs. The gospel of this God whom he serves. This gospel is affecting lives. It's transforming people from being lovers of self to lovers of God. From serving themselves to serving the one true and living God. And this was his purpose, to proclaim this gospel. And to see the fruit of this gospel was the greatest blessing and the greatest encouragement that the Apostle Paul could have as he faced the trial before him in Rome, where again he would have the opportunity to proclaim the facts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming into the world to be the Saviour of sinners, his death upon the cross to take the punishment from God for sin, so that others could be released from that condemnation. His encouragement is in the progress of the gospel, which was his purpose in his life. And so it ought to be for us, that we ought to be able to thank God for the progress of the gospel that we witness, that we hear of, that we see, and to take courage that God isn't weakened, and his arm is not shortened, that he cannot save. even in our own affliction, God is using those circumstances for our good and for His glory through the progress of the gospel. And so we should thank God. We should take courage. In the midst of uncertain days, God is certain, and His word is dependable. In the midst of the storms of life, we can give thanks to God without apology or shame. In the midst of life's journey, we can thank God and take courage in the gospel's progress. Do you know the power of the gospel in your own life? Have you experienced the force of Jesus Christ's redeeming power, turning your heart, changing your thoughts, giving you a desire for the glory of God, enabling you to love and serve Him? Have you experienced the forgiveness of your sins and peace with God? Then the greatest trial, the greatest test, cannot thwart the purpose of God in your life and cannot hinder you from making progress toward your heavenly home. Take heart. Have faith in God. But if you have not experienced the peace of God in your heart that surpasses understanding, if you have not experienced the power of God giving you a new heart, a new love for Him, then I call upon you to turn from your sins and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to look into the Word of God and see the plan and purpose of God for salvation. Don't put your hope in this life. It is just a journey, not a destination. Don't set your heart on the things of this world. You have seen in recent days how within a matter of weeks the whole world can be transformed and brought to its knees. Come now before Him, the God who is sovereign. Come on your knees before Him. Confess your sins. Trust in Him and find peace and hope and purpose through the trials of life until you enter His eternal home. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do ask that You would help us to take heart and have faith in You. In the midst of these times, help us to give thanks to You without apology or shame. Help us to take courage in the knowledge that Your purposes are being fulfilled and that Your salvation is certain for those who trust in You. And so may we glory in God our Saviour and take comfort in the midst of these providences, knowing that Your will must be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.